Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Donald Trump is the first U.S. president to be impeached twice by the House of Representatives. The president has been charged with incitement of insurrection. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi signed the article on the same podium that was stolen from her office on January 6th by a member of the mob who stormed the U.S. Capitol. From the campaign rhetoric to the death threats against people like Congressman Dusty Johnson, today we pause to process this moment in American history with SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his work on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lori. It's always good to be back. I'm trying to figure out what I actually am going to say on this in terms of writing my blog on it, so maybe this will help me say it out loud. It'll take me somewhere I want to go with the written word. First, what you mentioned, isn't it cool that we live in a country where all that happened last week, the lectern gets stolen, and it comes back this week on the podium, and we file impeachment papers with it? Whatever we do with it, first of all, I was proud that they came back that night. It was important to do that and come back and continue their work, which sent a message out about who we are as a nation, because the message that went out earlier in the day was certainly not the one we want sent out. And I guess that's kind of what we're going to talk about now.
Yeah, that night, I just thought that was incredibly important that you had to be shaken and you had to be tired and you had to make some decisions about what you were going to say that might be different from, you know, a few hours ago. There was a lot for the people in the Capitol to do to come back and continue their work, especially once we find out there's pipe bombs in the air. Democracy continuing at that point was not a meaningless gesture. It was pretty significant. Likewise, the returning of the podium and the next step that these institutions are saying, these people are saying, hey, this institution still stands.
Absolutely. And the leaders from both parties, I'm sure, got together and said, we have to do this. My wife and I, Mary and I, were talking about that the next day. You know, she's 62, I'm 69. We were talking about some of the people that were there at 3 in the morning or 4 or whenever it was after that horrible day, and were 80-some years old, and think about them grinding through all that and then coming back and saying, no, we're going to finish this tonight. It was important, and I was really impressed by it.
Yeah, and other people like Congressman Dusty Johnson, much younger, but with small kids at home, who probably would like their dad to come home at that point, and saying to families across the nation, not yet, this is the work that I have to go do. That's tough stuff.
Yeah, it is tough stuff. And speaking of tough stuff, you touched on it. We touched on it this morning that he has to put up, as with others do, with that kind of crazy online threatening behavior that affects his family, because they're offering him to this country for service, and they have to sometimes pay for it in the way he does, which is horribly unfair and un-American. But a threat on his life and posting his family's home and address, it's horrible.
I remember early on, I think it was during the campaign, I think it was his wife's birthday, and he and I were talking about something, and he mentioned the things people said about his wife as a way to get at him, and it was emotional about that. Kevin, I don't even want to tweet anymore. If I tweet that we're talking about Congressman Johnson, or I tweet that I'm interviewing Governor Noem, the people on Twitter take that tweet and share it and say awful things. And it's difficult how quickly people are using that platform. And certainly we've seen President Trump be banned from the platform, but I think it's impacting really everybody with, you say that we're going to have a conversation, and suddenly people use that as a vehicle, as a vehicle tweet to carry their own message. Further, it's incredibly frustrating, and it can lead to death threats and action and riots, and it's a really difficult time to sort through all that in a lot of ways.
Well, words matter. Words lead to action, and they always lead to action, and depending ultimately for somebody, and depending on what those words are, which is why I was, as I was driving down the down the road yesterday for an unsuccessful pheasant hunt, but it's a pretty good walk with my dog over in Stanley County. I was listening to a couple hours of the predictable, repeated, repetitious political rhetoric on the House floor over impeachment. And as I mentioned to you, some of the words spoken stood out to me. And surprisingly enough, maybe the words that stood out the most out of the ones that I heard were by Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader from, you know, the 23rd District in California, who I don't think I've quoted very many times approving. And it wasn't all that long ago that he was part of the group that was contesting the Biden victory. And to hear him on the floor yesterday, at this time, make a call for a censure, a broad-based Republican, Democrat censure of President Trump for very real, justifiable reasons. He certainly deserves to be censured. Maybe to be impeached, but is that wise? McCarthy said not for obvious political reasons, but for also for real reasons. And he would call out those in his party that are trying to blame the riots at the Capitol last week on Antifa and say there's no evidence of that, and that conservatives should be the first to say so, that he would, you know, he'd say the president bears responsibility for what happened on Wednesday. He should have denounced the bombing of the mob immediately and did not, and that he deserves punishment for that, that he would come out and say President-elect Biden won the election fair and square. It was not a fraudulent thing, and we have to step up and do that work. When we talk about, he called him the legitimate president. He used terms like a violation of the democratic process, not the process of this democratic republic, you know, which is a Republican thing, likely. They hate to say democratic. He used the right words, and the right words can lead to the right actions. And so I was impressed by him that he had come around as he did. And there were certainly political reasons that he came around, but I think there were practical and American reasons that he came around.
Yeah. Now, it should be stated here that many, many people are being charged for their actions that day. And much of the impeachment debate was about this notion of you know, separating what the president said and others, Rudy Giuliani and others, Mo Brooks, I think. I might be wrong about that, so don't quote me on that one. But some of the other people who said specific things right before the riot, where is that line between the First Amendment and inciting a riot, which you're not allowed to do in the First Amendment?
Yeah.
And that was a lot of what was discussed. Certainly not presidential behavior, but where does it fall on this line? And I just, you know, Kevin, for how long have we been hearing that this president says something, but he doesn't mean it? You know, literally, this is not a new conversation where leaders of this of Congress have been trying to figure out, along with the rest of us, how this president uses language and what should be taken seriously and what should not. And here we are, still having the same conversation about this president four years later.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no question in that, Kevin. There's just a sense of...
Tired. What do we do? How do we do it? I think when you look, you don't take one word, you don't take one sentence. You take the overall of all the words over a period of years, and especially over the period of the last 2 months, which is, do I think Donald Trump deserves to be impeached? Yeah, sure, I do. Do I think he deserves to be thrown out of office? Yeah, I'm sure. After this, I didn't last summer. I don't think I could have voted to throw him out of office last summer. But after this, all that he's done in the last 2 months, I couldn't have imagined he would take it this far, and he did. And if you look at all the words, he certainly helped incite what happened at the U.S. Capitol. And still, I don't know that I think convicting him and trying to throw him out of office now or after Joe Biden is president is good for this country. And I certainly think a censure, broad-based, by both parties would have been good. A condemnation on both floors by both parties, this is not who we are as Americans, would be important. I'm kind of where Tom Daschle was last week, which is where I was last week, worried that the impeachment is too political, too divisive, too much about retribution and not enough about moving forward with the Biden-Harris presidency.
Mm-hmm. What about this notion of some kind of joint statement about white supremacy? So much of what we heard was about the nature of this attack on democracy. I mean, these people are trying to stop a vote. They're trying to, you know, it's, they weren't just there to damage the Capitol or steal a podium. They were there to influence the actions of Congress in a threatening way. And many of them were affiliated with or associated with the ideology of white supremacy. And what about this idea that there is some language that Congress can use to speak out against that and to acknowledge that? Because what I'm hearing when I listen to some of the Democrats who are pushing the hardest for impeachment, that is at the core of this. That is, do not miss the reason that this happened, that is beyond President Donald Trump. Do not miss that this was an action that was very specifically fueled by this activity and this history of the U.S. Is there any kind of, you know, words that help address that, or not?
Yeah, and I think those words are important. I think they get lost in impeachment. That didn't stand out to me at all in what I heard yesterday on the House floor on public radio. And what I heard yesterday was people, in a very coordinated way, were getting 30 seconds to make their campaign pitches so they can get on the record for their primaries. On both sides of the aisle, they were doing it in both ways, in all predictable language, in all predictable rhetoric. We've heard it 100,000 times before. And, you know, when Dusty Johnson said in advance why he was going to vote against the impeachment, I thought he made a fair argument for his position. He could be very vulnerable in a primary if he voted for this impeachment in a state like South Dakota. I'm not saying that's the only reason he voted the way he did. I'm sure that was a consideration. But I also think he made an argument beyond that that this isn't the way to go. And I think in a censure, you could also negotiate, the Democrats could, with the Republicans for another statement, a statement within the censure or a separate statement. Listen, we want to make a statement about race in this country. It's important to condemn white supremacy. We can negotiate that as part of this censure deal. And I think they could have got that done, and I think it would have been important. I don't think they'll get it done now, and it's unfortunate because they should.
Representative Johnson laid out on PBS NewsHour, I think, three reasons that he was voting against it. And one of them was this will be litigated and accountability will be held for years to come, that Donald Trump will have to face all kinds of things in the future, and that was not to be ignored. And that was one of the reasons that he did not vote for impeachment, whether people agree with that or not. But I guess that leads me to my last question in our final 30 seconds here, Kevin, which is, we know that this impacts primaries. We know that it impacts campaigns. Are we going to be having this conversation for years to come as, you know, different jurisdictions take President Trump, hold him accountable for different things legally? What do you have a prediction?
I think so. The sooner we get Donald Trump in the rearview mirror as much as we can as a nation, the better off the nation is. And holding him to the center of this through impeachment, I think, keeps him in the center, which is where he likes to be, even if he feels threatened. His rabid core loves that. They love conflict. They love to fight. But I think Dusty, in many ways, is right on that one, that let's leave it to the people appropriately, suited to handle this. And that's not for the House of Representatives. That's not what they do. They do that horribly.
Analysis from Kevin Wooster. You can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, thanks so much. Have a good weekend. Watch out for the wind.
You too. You too. Will do.